We might have read about sieges, encirclements, occupations, but now we see it every night, every day. Real people with their back to the wall, their future on the line. Not a metaphor anymore, but a reality. Their reality. So what place the psalmist's fine sentiments? When the shells are falling, the children are weeping, the people you love are dying. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. Any way you slice it, being besieged is not a pretty image. It conjures up sights and sounds terrible and dark. What might have happened here in Geneva in 1602 had the lady with the soup been less alert? What dark night would have fallen over our city then? There have been many terrible sieges over the centuries, right up to the present day. It's been an ongoing and ugly feature of humanity and its warmongering. The siege of Sevastopol in Crimea, ironically, over 200,000 killed. 1 million killed at the siege of Jerusalem in 62 BC. Ironically, given the nature of the invading army in Ukraine, at the siege of Leningrad, 1941-44, it's estimated that between 1.1 million and 2.5 million men, women and children were killed. And if you hoped we might have learned from all this, and found more humane and mature ways to do war, we need only think about Sarajevo in the 80s, and Syria, and now Kiev. And we discover the merciless weapon of siege is ever with us, leaving us in no doubt as to the nature and the outcome of the fate that threatens a city that once was just a city full of people, families going about their lives, laughing, loving, working, dreaming, like ourselves, worshipping, learning, caring, hurting, falling out and falling back in, walking their dog, loving their children, saving up for this, anticipating their holidays, paying their bills, being, just being. Again, the irony of the nature of the perpetrator of this nightmare is sharp and sore. We remember that whole Marxist theory that unjust systems have within them the seeds of their own destruction. And history is full of empires that grew too big for their boots, and their vaunted ambition allied to moral indifference bred crisis and collapse with an inexorable certainty. And so the armies encamp around the city walls, and the plans are being made to bring Ukraine to its knees. Back in the day when it came to besieging a city, there was no shortage of inventiveness as generals and their advisers came up with all kinds of strategies to undermine, bypass or trick the defences of cities, cities that seemed on the face of it impregnable. Human ingenuity at work to breach the defences wear down the resolve of the citizens, from wooden horses at the siege of ancient Troy to special weapons devised, fire to burn down the city gates, battering rams under the umbrella of sheltering shields, as boiling oil and rocks were hurled over the battlements by the frantic defenders. Huge ladders thrown up under cover of darkness, catapults lobbing fire and death into the heart of the city, cannons relentlessly pounding the thick walls until they cracked and crumbled. The development of artillery was a game changer. Nothing, as we see, was impregnable anymore. Eventually, surely, the most embattled city would fall, while with air power came women and children huddled like cellar rats as the bombs fall, cluster bombs bringing merciless suffering, indiscriminate and deadly. Shock and awe, indeed. And always in every siege, the food and water issue, starve the people into surrender, drive them insane with thirst, famine as a weapon of war. Then in the end, should the city fall, let history show. Unspeakable ruins, rampage and rape, and through it all, terrible slaughter. Brutal, inhumane slaughter. The besieged defenders at the hilltop rebel fortress of Masada, deep in the Judean desert, against whom the Roman army had brought every imaginable sort of assault, realised their number was up when they watched the Roman soldiers build a sloping hill, an actual hill that would eventually reach the top of the fortress walls. A colossal undertaking that involved shifting hundreds of tons of earth, but one that would bring inevitable defeat. And so the Jewish defenders chose to die in a suicide pact rather than submit. Death, not slavery. When the Roman army eventually entered the hilltop fortress, a deathly hush was all they met, and piles of corpses. The Jewish rebels had endured the countless attacks, but they could not, would not, face capture and humiliation. Shocking, grim, ghastly. So, yes, I guess any way you slice it, a siege, being besieged, does not present a very pretty image, conjures up sights and sounds terrible and dark. One that should shock us out of indifference and complacency, or numb us into paralysis. Solidarity, compassion, support, prayer, charitable, practical action, generous, heartfelt financial aid, the assurances given to our politicians that whatever minor cost or inconvenience that solidarity will ask of us, we will deal with that in order to right the terrible wrongs. Sieges. Certainly not an image you would reach for to speak about love and tenderness. And yet it seems even the ugliest image can be reinvented. The metaphor transformed into something beautiful. In Psalm 139, we find the wonderful line, and we sang it in our last hymn, "With love everlasting, you besiege me." The psalmist speaking of how God's patient love surrounds us with the evidences of his grace and compassion until his tenderness wears down our fear, our resistance, our rebellion. The metaphor is rethought, the image reworked. Something terrible is remade into an idea that has beauty in it. The poets use it too. Poets speak of being filled with love for their beloved, bringing all their best efforts to bear, and with winsome words laying siege to their heart. The old idea of courtship, Romeo wooing Juliet, laying siege to her heart, poems and flowers and songs, soft deeds of love. And that's how it can be with loving. Sometimes you have to settle in for the long haul, the patient working away at demonstrating the person you are and the love you have. Most couples tend not to arrive at quite the same emotional place at exactly the same time. Work has to be done to convince this person or that of the worthiness of your suit and your suitability as a lover. So there are dates and walks and conversations and kindness. And these can eventually break down the walls of reluctance. Hard hearts can soften. Victory can be won as you lay siege to their heart. In the end, you hope they will surrender their heart. It happens in the context of faith too, as David suggests in the Psalms. With love everlasting, you besiege me. God surrounding us with his tender promises, his truth, his call, until our resistance to his love is overcome and we surrender our heart to him. You might remember me quoting a while back the beautiful poem prayer by Jacopone de Todi, the Italian mystic of the 13th century. It captures that image and the meaning so well. O love, divine love, why do you lay siege to me? In a frenzy of love for me, you find no rest. From five sides you move against me. Hearing, sight, taste, touch, and scent. To come out is to be caught. I cannot hide from you. If I come out through sight, I see love, painted in every form and colour, inviting me to come to you, to dwell in you. If I leave through the door of hearing, what I hear points only to you, Lord. I cannot escape love through this gate. If I come out through taste, every flavour proclaims love, divine love, hungering love, you have caught me on your hook, for you want to reign in me. If I leave through the door of scent, I sense you in all creation. You've caught me and wounded me through that fragrance. If I come out through the sense of touch, I find your lineaments in every creature. To try to flee from you is madness. Love, I flee from you, afraid to give you my heart. It is you, O crucified Christ, who take possession of me, drawing me out of the sea to the shore. For with Christ it's different. He approaches our heart not with sophisticated weapons of aggression and force. He doesn't attack us. He knocks at the door and waits with patient grace and enduring love. The Victorian artist Holman Hunt has a famous painting of Christ knocking at the door of our heart, waiting to be invited in. A soft whisper wins our heart, and we surrender to his love. Amen.